This summer, it came from Mid-America. Oklahoma, Knuckle Drag. Hard Cop Radio.
I'd like to say a few words about tornadoes. I live in Oklahoma. Oklahoma spelled backwards is tornado. You people think you got it tough. And in Oklahoma, you don't understand the pressure. I'm recording this Thursday, 7 o'clock, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. There has been no primetime TV on any network. It's all, look out, here comes the tornado. All four networks. All they have is maps. Oh, and you should see these maps. These maps are spectacular. You know, I'm no fan of the media by any means. But the graphics they have are spectacular. They show you this 3D image of like a fourth of the state, and they show these giant clouds coming in. Well, it starts out, it shows you from above like you would normally see. And then they do this matrix thing where the camera comes, slides down one fourth, and now it's looking back at a 90 degree angle, and they have all the layers of the storm cloud, different colors and all, and their different thicknesses and stuff. It is so cool. And then they got the white lightning bolts. They press a button and they go, choo, 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 choo. It looks like a Star Trek thing. And they show you, last night there was something, 300 lightning strikes, like in a 30, 40 mile radius in just a short while. It was, and they said, it's coming. If you turn to some other channel, your kids will die. Stay tuned to us. Nothing. The precision they have. I don't know if they have this in other places. I don't guess Portland has an emergency tornado tracker system, but they have this down so precise. I would imagine Tulsa and Oklahoma City, maybe Wichita Falls, I don't know. Yet this Tornado Alley thing, it's where the cold weather from the Rockies hits the Gulf, warm and humid air. So this little corridor here is just Tornado Central. That's why they shot the movie Twister here. The precision. We've got the best radar. They've got Doppler. They've got Double Doppler. They've got Viper. They have all these names for these fancy radar things. But boy, are they good. This is unreal how they do this. When they get a tornado on the ground, see, I don't know if they might do this in every city, but I know they do it here. And if anyone's got the better computers and spend the money, it's going to be us. So when the tornado's on the ground, they'll tell you this tornado is at 5th and Main. And in 2 minutes, it's going to be at 12th and Broadway. And at 717, it's going to be, at 30th and Wilson. And at 722, it's amazing. They pinpoint to the minute where this sumbitch is on the ground. Tuesday and Wednesday night, and the whole thing is you don't know. If they say a tornado's on the ground, that's your ass. That's because they're so precise. If you live at 10th and Main, and they say the tornado's at 5th and Main, it's coming uptown, yeah, that means they're really, swear to God, is a tornado about to knock on your door. So you must get away. The good news is, if they tell you this happened Tuesday and Wednesday, if they tell you the tornado's at 5th and Main and you live at 35th and Main, hey, you do another shot. You put the tape back in, smoke them if you got them, because the tornado's 3 miles away. Tuesday it was 3 miles away. Last night it was maybe 5 miles away. Tonight it's a full 12, 13 miles. It's like, ah, who cares? It's 12 miles away. It's creepy to hear the horns go off, the sirens go off. I think they did this in London. When those things are going off, they're not kidding. They test those at noon, I think the first weekday of the month at noon. They blow those whistles to see if they're working. But when it's 5 o'clock and the whistles go off, there you go. Now you got a party. A shout at Chinaco to their precision, because that is great. They are precise. Few things in life work as well as tornado prediction in Oklahoma. I don't know how other Maybe everybody's got it. Maybe Dayton's got this. I don't know. Recently, a bunch of people died in Illinois, and this was the same storm. Again, with the time-lapse radar, they show the thing being born, and it grows, and it gets real big, and then it shrinks and goes away, or it just stays the same size and goes into the next state, and you don't care anymore. Either Tuesday or Wednesday, I'm a little shell-shocked. This is night three of tornadoes. It's kind of like an escaped convict every day. It's just not that much fun. But last night, two of these big giants formed. They merged. They had this one coming in from the southeast and this one coming in from the east, and about 5 miles west of Tulsa, you know, these things always go east, northeast, whatever. And about 5 miles west of Tulsa, the two of them met and shook hands, said, hey, let's go screw Tulsa. I said, okay. So they came into town again. Tuesday was 3 miles south. Wednesday was 5 miles south. Today was a good 10 or 12 miles. It just wasn't even, you don't even break a stride. But we have no TV. We got satellite. Since it's Thursday night, I figure I'll watch my poker tape from last night that I didn't get to watch. They announced tonight's Survivor would be on at 1:30 a.m. That's convenient. Tonight's Survivor's on at 1:30 a.m. CSI, the repeat at 2:37 a.m. Without a Trace, 3:37 a.m. And Mrs. Bart will hold me responsible. When she gets home on a Thursday, she wants that Survivor. She wants that. If there's no Survivor, I'm in trouble. In closing on this tornado deal, they also have a thing, send in your pictures. They tell you this is a dangerous thunderstorm with hundreds of lightning bolts and, you know, Christ, it's a tornado. It picks up trees. It throws buses around. You don't mess with the tornado. And they say, do not go outside. Stay in your homes. Get inside a closet in the middle of the house, et cetera. And then they say, but hey, if you get a picture of the tornado, send it in. Here's the address. weatherpics@ktul.com, something like that. But they, hey, don't go outside. But if you have a picture, you know, if you're in your closet underneath a mattress and you get a good picture of the tornado, please send it to us. So I've been thinking about cruising Google, trying to find some really badass-looking storms. And next time there's a tornado, send that in. Oh, here it is coming up Fifth Street. That'd be funny. So in closing, if you're in a bar somewhere, and somebody's giving you a little shit, and you say, hey, dude, where are you from? And if he says Oklahoma, you might just get out of his way, because you live in Oklahoma. You got some balls. Oklahoma, hey. In Miami, when the hurricane's coming, they give you a week's notice. Here we get 45 minutes notice. You can take the tornadoes. You can live in Oklahoma. Saw a thing in Monday's paper. Al Franken considers Senate bid. Al Franken, a comedian and liberal talk show host, said he probably will run for the Senate from Minnesota in 2008. That would be on the Hillary ticket. When Norm Coleman, parentheses, R asshole, close parentheses, a first-term Republican would be up for re-election. Franken was born in New York City, lives there now, but grew up near Minneapolis. Rob Eibensteiner, boy, that sounds like a good name for a Republican. The GOP chairman of Minnesota said this is a joke, right? Well, I am all for Al Franken running for the Senate. I hope that doesn't mean he thinks his radio network will fold in the next 4 years. And I don't know how he can do a radio show and be a senator, but maybe there'll be some unknown comic come forward with some radio experience that could take over for old Al. I really like the idea of Al running against that son of a bitch, because if you remember, and I don't, so maybe you do, after that Coleman fella won, ended up beating Mondale after the BFEE possibly murdered Paul Wellstone, because how are you going to invade a country for no reason with Paul Wellstone shackling himself to the Capitol gates? After he was elected, this Norm Coleman guy said something like, now Minnesotans can have a senator they can be proud of because I'm a better man than Paul Wellstone was. That's not a verbatim quote, but he said something like that, something with that tone, that now Minnesotans have a better man, and I just don't like that. I don't like speaking ill of the dead. I didn't know Paul Wellstone very well. I didn't know him at all, but he was quite a bit of under-the-radar guy when you live in Oklahoma. But the outpouring after his death gave me an idea how loved and respected he was, and then have some asshole come along and say that now we're finally going to do it right since we got that guy out of the way. Rub me the wrong way. So, Al, I want you to go get him. I have no doubt you will slice him to pieces in a debate. And I think humor is very effective in a debate. We've been over this before, but Al Franken getting in a debate with the guy, I believe he will slice him up. Go get him, Al. This next one is for Pat the Pillar, whose husband was Seattle Slew's trainer.
The horses to look for leaving the starting gate will be Quinton's Gold Rush, number 10, Smarty Jones, number 15, who's got some speed, and Lionheart, number 3. Ready for the start. In the Kentucky Derby, Imperialism got a little bump from the Cliff's Edge at the start. Read the footnotes, comes away in good order, and there's Lionheart flashing his early speed today. Minister Eric is up close to the pace. Limehouse down toward the inside has been taken back. Quinton's Gold Rush in the far outside. Bias for the first time. Lionheart leads the way in a host of pursuers. Minister Eric is there. Read the footnotes is third. Smarty Jones very eager. He's fourth. Pollard's Vision is there on the outside, and Quinton's Gold Rush stacks six wide as they move into the clubhouse turn. By the back, Master David is running along in seventh position. Borrego is eighth on the outside. Pro Prado moves up into ninth. Birdstone is tenth and in between horses. Limehouse is saving ground 11th. Castledale in the clear. He's now running in 12th. Friends Lake is now 13th. Song of the Sword is 14th. Tappet is running together 15th and 16th with the Cliff's Edge. And Imperialism is 17th. He has but one horse beaten, and that is action this day. The opening half mile, 46 and 3/5 seconds. And Lionheart throws down the gauntlet and opens up by 3. Testing fractions for him, 5 furlongs to go. Smarty Jones is a stalking second as they approach the far turn. Pollard's Vision in the clear, and he's right there, 3rd. Minister Eric down on the inside, moving from 4th. Read the footnotes is handling the track well. He's 5th between horses with a half mile to run. They run 3 quarters in 1, 11 and 4. Borrego's beginning to pick it up on the outside. Pollard's Vision threads his way through in between horses. And there goes Tappet. Tappet is circling horses on the far outside. And the Cliff's Edge is following him. And Imperialism is pisking his way through down toward the inside. Now to the outside. And Master David follows him. They're 12 lengths from the lead as Lionheart turns for home. And undefeated Smarty Jones comes wide off the turn. And these two hook up at the top of the stretch. Lionheart is all heart. Smarty Jones is all out. And those two deadlocked at the eighth pole. And Smarty Jones is rose to the lead by journeyman jockey Stuart Elliott. And they have taken the lead away from Lionheart. Farther back, it's Limehouse and Imperialism. And here is the first undefeated winner of the Kentucky Derby since Seattle Slew in 1977. Smarty Jones has done it. Lionheart was second. Imperialism finished third. And Limehouse was fourth. What a moment this must be for Stuart Elliott, a 39-year-old journeyman. He has just won the race of a lifetime.
And put it in the bank in a big way. A $5 million bonus to boot. Smarty Jones, 7-for-7. The first unbeaten Derby winner, as Tom said, since Seattle Slew, and only the 5th in history to go into the Derby undefeated and come out and wear the roses. Dreams of a lifetime realized in the slop at Churchill Downs.
Wow. Unless you got a first-round knockout, that is the most exciting 2 minutes in all of sports. Wow. Just hearing the replay, I get all buzzed on it. The first undefeated Kentucky Derby winner in, what, 27 years, 28 years? On top of winning the biggest race of his life, an extra $5 million bonus thrown on top for going undefeated into the Derby and then winning it. Whoa. Obviously on radio you couldn't see it, but the owner, maybe it's the owner's dad, but he was probably 75 or so. He got real excited during that race, and I mean real excited. And they went to him once the race was completely over and they talked to the jockey. They went back to the owners, and he was sitting there. He was blowing oxygen. He had a little oxygen thingy on his nose, and he was real excited. And he was, you could just see him trying to blow oxygen out so he could get more in. I was worried about the guy. Think he did okay, though. But yep, he had the day of his life. Big, big viewership for the second race. That's some damn exciting stuff.
Giving ditto monkeys the red ass. It's Bart Cobb.